Welcome to the Sons of Technology Clubhouse. Ditch your fear at the door, take a risk, and enjoy the ride. With your hosts, Joe Marquez and Kyle Anderson.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Sons of Technology podcast. We are here at a very, very long week, even though it was a short week, Kyle. We had a three-day weekend. We didn't start till Tuesday, but it still seems like the week just went on and on and on. What about you? How are you feeling right now on this Friday afternoon?
you hit the nail on the head, Joe. My week went by very slowly, and it felt even longer because I was actually out of town this past weekend. I was on an airplane on Saturday morning at 6:30 Pacific, and I had maybe 3 hours sleep the night before, so I was out of bed at 3:30, get to the airport and everything, and then I did not get returned until 11 o'clock on Monday night, and then went into work the next morning. Well, got out of bed and crawled across the bedroom to my workstation, I should say, when I say went into work. But right now, just it's exhausting. It is absolutely exhausting. And as a special education teacher, I'm not trying to say I've got more on my plate than anybody else, but I have a caseload of 25 students that I have to have IEPs revised for distance education coming up. I've got annual IEPs that are coming up. I have 7 classes that I'm co-teaching and 4 different teachers that I'm working with on those classes, running office hours, just a lot on the plate right now. And even when I sleep 7-8 hours a night, which I've been trying my best to do, I'm exhausted. And you and I had an idea for a topic for this week. And up until 2 minutes before we hit this record button, that's what the topic was going to be. And then we decided, you know what? Let's take a different direction this week and maybe shorten it up a little bit because we're so tired. We know our listeners are tired. And if you're a listener on the West Coast, you've probably got a lot of things going on right now as well with the wildfires that are burning up and down the Pacific Coast. And we're definitely thinking about you as well. So, Joe, why don't you tell us a little bit about what the format's going to be like this week instead of what our normal hour-long format is going to be.
Yeah, you know, normally we dive into, you know, a variety of different topics, you know, one topic, but a lot of different segues. But this one, you know, I was having a great conversation this morning with two of our Sons of Technology members, Joey and Bradford. And they were talking to me about something that is happening that we should have anticipated. And we should have anticipated it because we've been coaches before. I don't mean like ed tech coaches. I mean coaches for sports, right, Kyle? We've been coaches before. And what always happens during the season, whether it's a practice or whether it's a game, it's parent interference. And parents do it out of love. But as a coach, you have to have parent meetings at the beginning of the year and set expectations. Parents, during the game, you may not call your students over. They must remain with the team. Parents, during practice, let us practice. And after practice, you can then talk to your student. Let us be the coaches. And then afterwards, you can then talk to your students. And that's an issue that we've dealt with as coaches for a long, long time. And I'm not saying it's ever stopped, but at least we put it out there. I don't think we ever really did that with parents of students in these Zoom rooms. Because what Joey and Bradford were talking about today was that parents are actually sitting in on entire classes with their students. Now, for younger kids, that may be okay. For younger kids, that may be needed. But they're not just sitting there helping them click or helping them find things. They're actually sitting there questioning the teacher. They're telling the teacher to repeat themselves. They're asking the teacher, what does this have to do with the, they're actually interrupting the lesson. And there's a fine line between being nice and kicking out a parent, right? Because you're not just kicking out a parent, you're also kicking out the student. So I wanted to just quickly bring this up because it is an issue and our listeners may be dealing with this issue. And I thought we needed to, you know, even though we were going to talk about classroom considerations and classroom management and these kinds of things, I at least wanted to hit on this topic this week because I want to know if our listeners are dealing with the same thing. And Kyle, you're a parent with students doing distance learning, so you may have a great insight as well. But have you heard any of this happening in your school or with your teachers or anything like this?
I personally have not had it happen in any of my classes. I've heard rumblings from other teachers about it happening. And in a staff meeting one morning, my principal addressed it and gave us some pointers on what to do if it happens. But I honestly can't confirm whether it's actually happened or not in my school, or I'm sure in a district with 330,000 students, it's been happening. And then as a parent, I have a son that's in kindergarten and a daughter that's in third grade. It's almost, I would say, I don't want to say required because it's not required, but it's imperative that at least there's an adult nearby, especially with my son who's in kindergarten. He's very squirrely and he's never done school before really besides preschool. So he needs the guidance to get him to where he needs to be and to do the things that he needs to do. Now, for the most part, once you get him going, he's fine. And he can take care of the things that he needs to do. He even knows the shortcuts on the Chromebook. I actually learned a shortcut today from my 8-year-old daughter on how to use Google Meet and use a keyboard shortcut rather than the mouse. So it was pretty great, actually. So I, like you said, I can definitely understand with younger students, having a parent or an adult there to help guide them through something. But to have a parent sitting there, taking the notes, asking questions, questioning the teacher as to how they're doing something, I don't agree with that. Okay, students still need to be students. And just like you said with when you were a coach, as a former football coach, baseball coach, you're right. There were those parents that were like that, that would call the parent or the kid over, that would shout things at you about your play calling or whatever it may be from the sideline. And there was plenty of times where I wanted to take my clipboard and whistle and walk over to the stands and hand it to the parent and say, if you're so much better than me, go right ahead. But I never did that. It only crossed my mind. So, and it's tough when you think about this in our Zoom sessions or Google Meet sessions that parents are going to be doing this. So I would say if it hasn't happened to you yet, you have to expect that it's going to happen at some point. And the way to address that before it happens, you have to set out the expectations. And this is something that you may need to talk to your supervising administrator about. Maybe they can help draft something that would be a school-wide policy for it. But I just think that it has to be something that's communicated to families, whether it's through an email, whether it's through an auto dialer from the school, whether it's through an app like Remind, whatever it may be. That expectation has to be there that your students are there to be students and you're not to be on there with the student outside of helping them find something, because it could become more of a distraction that takes away from everybody else as well. So it's not, there's not a simple answer to it though. Like I said, I think you definitely have to have some guidance from administration on this one, that, and it has to be a school-wide policy, not just a classroom policy. So what do you think about that?
No, I agree, because again, going back to that coaching analogy, when I was a coach, we had a parent meeting. We had a parent night that talked about expectations. Parents were expected to be there. And we said during a football game, the team is the team and they're not going to cross the line to go and talk to you in the stands. It's not going to happen. You're not going to cross the line to come and talk to the team because you're not a coach or a player. That's not going to happen. Same thing during practice. The team is going to practice. The team is going to learn. The team is going to work unitedly. And then after practice, if you want to talk to them, you're more than welcome to do that. But I don't think any schools really had the parent expectations down because they were really focusing on student expectations. And like I said, I didn't think of this either. But as a coach, I should have noticed that this could happen. Now, I have a little bit of a different background with virtual sessions because when I taught in my science classroom from starting in like 2013, when I started doing this, I actually recorded every single session I ever did. Now I used something called Google Hangouts On Air, before Google Meet existed, they had something called Google Hangouts, and then you could hit on air and it would directly feed to a YouTube channel. And I would tell my parents, hey, I record every lesson, not your students' faces, not your students' voices, but my screen. And everything I do with digital inking and everything I showcase is going to be done on the screen. And if you want to watch this and listen to this, you're more than welcome to do it. And I know I would have about four or five parents joining, but that was like a kind of a seminar, right? Where the parents would only be able to watch and listen. They couldn't interact. And in this fashion, they are given the opportunity to interact. And that could be an issue. But for me, it wasn't. And my teachers used to always tell me this. They go, I'm very afraid to have parents listen to me teach. And I would say, why? And they would say, what if I say something inappropriate? And my response was always, don't say something inappropriate, right? That would be always my response. But they say, not inappropriate, like something bad, but like, what if it's something that, is against a belief of a parent or against a this of a parent, because they hear it, they're going to contact me more. And I just told them, that's just part of being a teacher. You're going to have difference of opinions. But the problem here is now, instead of waiting until after school to contact the parent or contact the teacher, now the parent can just speak up. And that's the problem that's happening. And we don't want to shame the student, because they might already be like, oh no, my mom's talking again, right? They might already be saying that. We don't want to shame the student. We don't want to kick them out because they're not the one doing anything. But there's some features in these Zooms and Meets where you can turn off their microphone, but they can turn them right back on again. You could turn off their camera, but they can turn it right back on again. What do you do like in that moment to prevent any more interruptions? What would you do as a teacher, and what would you want to hear as a parent that would help calm the situation and not cause more attention towards it?
The recording is still an option. You can do that. My district is actually requiring us to record the session so we can post them in case a student missed class. So that's something that could be communicated with families as well, that the recordings will be available. But if it's a situation where you're in class and the parent is there and then they start asking questions or quote unquote making a scene, if it's something that can be talked down, like something along the lines of, if you want to stick around at the end of the session, I can most definitely talk to you further about this to kind of redirect it. I would say that 99% of the time, that's probably going to take care of it. Okay, just something subtle like that. If it's something where it's absolutely causing a scene, it's a distraction to everybody else and the parent will not calm down, then you need to end that call for that parent and that student, unfortunately. So, and with the features in Zoom and Google Meet that are out there now, that's going to prevent them from being able to jump back in and cause any more problems. And then most importantly in that situation, if it comes down to that, it needs to be addressed and reported to your supervising administrator right now. You have to take the time to say, listen, this is what happened. I'm going to probably need your assistance on this at this point, because the last thing you want to do is get into an email battle or a phone call battle with a parent over something like that and then not be able to have somebody there to back you up.
No, and I agree with that. Get administrators involved. Definitely be understanding with the parents, because they're trying to deal with this also, right? I mean, parents are now the co-teacher, so that they are there to help their students understand. If their son or daughter doesn't really know where to click, they can absolutely be there to help them with that. So that's not a problem. So I don't want the listeners to think we're saying parents have to be completely hands off and let their students flail about when they don't know how to do something. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is, when, like, if a teacher says something, and let's say, a parent has a PhD in history, and something may be a little bit off, and that parent says, oh, actually, that's not the case. Or actually, the Greeks had a role in Roman architecture, and you're not really mentioned. We don't want parents to be overriding the teacher. It takes away the professionalism of that. So that's basically what we're talking about. Or, Kyle, because you talked about your daughter knowing a shortcut more than you. If a parent doesn't understand the instructions that the teacher is giving, but the student does, but instead of noticing that, the parent speaks up and says, I don't understand what you're saying. That is something that can cause an issue, right? So as a teacher, you just need to speak up. And in that moment, just reiterate what you said. But if it continues, absolutely, just make sure you shut the camera off, shut off the microphone, don't kick them out of the class, and at least let the student enjoy the class. But then get your administrator involved. And sometimes that just means having the administrator join your classroom tomorrow when you know that parent is attending, and have them sit in with their camera off, microphone off, and listen and see what's happening. And then have them, you know, come in and do that. But that means you do have to make sure you're talking to your administrators. Don't think you have to do this by yourself. Because listen, Kyle, it's Friday. We're all tired and parents are tired. Because parents are working, parents are helping, parents are this, parents are that, parents are tired. So don't take it personally. Everybody's on edge right now. Everybody's on edge. Things are not working out the way you planned. Things are not working to a T that you had planned out. And people are anxious and nervous and fearful and over it. I've heard the term over it so many times this week that my head is spinning. But we just have to make sure teachers know that they have an administration that is there to help them. They don't need to add the parent conflicts as something else they have to deal with on their plate alone. They need to get that help. But Kyle, we've been saying this for the last 6 months. There's going to be bumps in the road. There's going to be wear and tear. How strong are your shocks? How strong are your shocks going down that bumpy road? How much can you take? How much can you wiggle? How much can you be flexible and still make it down the road? Right? Because we're not saying this street is paved in gold. It is paved with potholes and everything else. But how strong are your shocks? And I say your shocks are incredibly strong, and you're incredibly strong, and you're going to make it through every pothole and nick and cranny of that road, and it's going to be okay. But Kyle, as a parent, I know you're not going to sit there and just let your son or daughter flail about, right? But I know also, coming from education, coming from a teacher, you're not going to undermine a teacher as well. So what would you say are your three non-negotiables that if you were to send out an email to parents, because this is becoming an issue, what are your three non-negotiables you would say to parents? Say, hey, parents, I understand what's going on. I understand this and that, but these are three things that cannot happen if you are sitting with your child in a Zoom meeting.
I would say that non-negotiable number one would be, if you have a concern, please hold it until the end of class when we can talk one-on-one, not in front of other students. And that would also be two and three, because I think just by having that alone, I think would solve most of the issues that there may be. Again, if a parent is going to choose to sit there with their student, I can't force them not to, because again, they're doing it out of love. They're doing it out of wanting their child to be successful. Okay. But at the same time, it cannot become a distraction for the teacher or for the other students either. So I would say you wanted three. I say that just that one thing, as long as your concerns are addressed in a respectful fashion after class is over with, instead of bringing it up in front of everybody, that's going to solve the issues that are going to be at hand, in my opinion.
I love that. And you know, I would say there's also some non-negotiables that teachers need to do to be, let's say, proactive in the classroom, right? And, you know, these are things that you can do to ensure that your parents are happy, that your students are in the know, that your administrators are in the know, that everybody is just there and ready to help. And I call these the six C's of virtual learning, or the six C's of distance learning. So one of them is consistency. Be consistency with when you're posting the work, because if the parents don't know what to expect, they're going to be caught off guard during the moment. But if you post like on a Sunday night or a Monday night, all the things that you're going to cover, things that you're going to go over, pre-prepare about any new tool so that your parents can at least go into that Microsoft Teams room or Google Classroom and prepare. I would say that is incredibly important. Number two is communication. Letting your parents know that you understand that this is new to them and that they understand that this is new to you, and to give them grace, and you'll give them grace, and that you will communicate with them in the right time. So having office hours or parent communication hours or a parent communication platform where they can easily ask you those things. Because if you don't have those in place, parents will think the only place I can ask you a question is during your live session. So make sure you have communication there. Be creative with number one and number two. Be creative with how you're posting things and communicating with your students. Don't just think text is going to do it. I mean, Screencastify is a great tool for you to model what you're expecting of your students, which can help the parents, which in the flow of the class can really help parent understanding. So be creative in how you are creating communication with your parents and creating that consistency. Be collaborative, be collaborating with your parents. Say, hey, these are things that I'm going to do in the face-to-face. These are things I would like you to do with your student asynchronously. Here's some activities I would like you to do to help them out, right? Have the parent feel like they're collaborating with their students' learning. And then give the students choice on how they present their work, on how they are interacting in the classroom. Choice is incredibly key. But above all else, make sure you maintain community between students, parents, and yourself. When parents know you're working hard, when parents know you're communicating with them and you're being consistent in your work and you're checking for understanding and you're giving every student a choice and every student a voice, when parents see all of that, they can be very understanding and understand they're part of a learning community now, not just somebody who receives a report card every now and then. Because we're all in this together. And when they don't feel any of those, sometimes emotions build up, frustrations build up, and unfortunately it gets unloaded on you, the teacher. But we just don't want that to happen in front of students. So those are some things that I would say as a teacher you can do to be proactive about the situation. What do you think about that, Kyle?
You made a lot of great points. So a lot of which, had I not been so tired, I probably would have thought a little bit about as well, but I'm going to give you full credit for bringing those to light. So that being said, this episode is a lot different because we're wrapping up at this point. And then normally, you know, we're looking at about an hour, and I think we're at about maybe 20, 25 is all on this episode here. And that's partly because, like Joe and I've said, we're tired. We're very tired, but we felt that it was important to produce an episode on our consistent basis, like we do every 2 weeks, and also address an issue that if you're not experiencing it, there's a good chance that you may experience it. So, and this is going to segue really nicely into our next episode in a couple of weeks, when we go into more in depth into classroom management in the virtual or the hybrid space, because it's definitely something that many of us are struggling with, if not all of us are struggling with, because it is just so different from everything that we've experienced as teacher, everything they taught us in our education classes in college, everything we experienced as students ourselves throughout our K through 12 schooling. So I'm looking forward to having that conversation here very soon. But first, I'm looking forward to a little bit of rest and unplugging to get away from computers and phones and tablets and Chromebooks and technology in general, just even for a couple of days over this weekend as this is posting.
And I love that we're closing like this, because people are like, isn't this the Sons of Technology podcast? Aren't you supposed to be praising all technology? look, we know the limits. We know when you got to step away. We know when you have to decompress, and we know when you just have to be with your family and just get offline. And we also know this. We know a lot of great educators, a lot of great technology integration specialists, and they are all tired. Every single one of them. So if you're an educator just starting out with this, just learning how to use these tools, just learning how to navigate this time that we're living in, God bless you. Because if even the highest rated technology specialist can be tired after a short week, we know exactly how you're feeling. We know exactly the emotions you're going through. Sometimes you feel excited during the week and then sad next and hopeless and then inspired. And then something else hits you and you're just like, I don't want to do this. Sometimes we're sitting here going, I give up. Let's just go back into the classroom already. We just have to remember, why are we doing distance learning in the first place? It's a health issue, everybody. Simple as that. Now, whether you agree that it is a high level health issue, a low level health issue, it's a health issue. And if schools feel that they need to be in distance learning, there's a reason behind it. So please don't let the feelings of loss or feelings of unknown or feelings of failure take away from the fact that there's a reason we're in distance learning and we can't just give up. We can't just give up. There was a saying when I first started teaching, and it was, you do not learn to be a teacher until at least your fifth year. You do not have your feet underneath you. You do not have your confidence. You're not ready until about your fifth year. And everybody, this is the first year for everybody right now. The first year for everybody. And you are going to feel the pain of that. But let's keep going. Let's keep moving forward. Because our students need you. And whether your parents tell you or not, they need you. And Kyle and I, we need you. And we appreciate you. And we appreciate your hard work, your determination, and your steadfastness in your mission, which is to change the world from the bottom up by creating great citizens, great critical thinkers, and great people. There is no other profession in the history of the world, grander and more important than a teacher. Just keep that in mind. When everything feels like it's on your shoulders, know that the rest of the world is lifting you up. We are the Sons of Technology. I'm Joe Marquez with my partner in innovation, Kyle Anderson. Saying, keep your head up. We'll get through this. But we'll get through it together. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you so much for being a part of the EdTech Army. And if you feel that what we said resonated with you, please definitely, definitely, definitely record on our Flipgrid and say that you are a member of the EdTech Army and that you will persevere and that you will ditch that fear and that you will make it through this. And we want to feature you on one of our episodes with that recording. So thank you for taking time out of your day to listen to us on a short but long Friday afternoon. And as always, ditch that fear and keep on innovating. Thank you so much. And until next time, thank you for being with us.